Welcome to another episode of Supernatural Scotland. I am your host, Mark Smith. Firstly, apologies for not putting a podcast on last week. It ended up being a bit busier than I had planned. Kids were on holiday from school and I had an application to do for a new job. Now, to also announce, this will be the final episode of this season. We're getting close to summer now, so I've decided to end the season here and we will start a new season in the autumn. So I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has listened to the episodes so far and welcome to those who are listening for the first time. Now, I wanted to say a big shout out to a place called Wee Eden, where I took my family for a visit with some animals. We got to feed some goats, walk around a field, do a little assault course with a goat, and we also got to feed and walk some beautiful alpacas. It was a lovely little afternoon out. So if you are visiting Scotland and you're near Edinburgh, why not consider booking with Wee Eden for something a bit different? They are just outside the village of West Calder and the website is www.weeeden.com. So that's www.weeeden.com. They also have a Facebook page, so you can check out some information there. Now, on with the podcast. We are starting this episode with Edinburgh Castle. It's safe to say the castle is probably the most famous castle in the whole of Scotland, and it has a massive history. The castle is nestled up a rocky hill which was once part of an extinct volcano, so as to make it easier to defend, giving them the advantage when under siege. A castle has existed on this hill since the 11th century during the reign of Malcolm III. The castle was a royal castle until 1633. Has served various roles over its many years, including royal residence, arsenal, treasury, national archive, mint, prison, and as a military stronghold. It has been part of many wars, including the wars of Scottish independence in the 14th century and the Jacobite Rising of 1745. They say it has been under siege around 26 times in its over 1,000 years, making it the most besieged castle in Britain and one of the most besieged in the world. It has, of course, had lots of repairs and lots of extensions and upgrades over the years due to being so old and having been under siege so many times. The castle is still the Royal Regimental Headquarters of the Royal Regiment of Scotland and Royal Scots Dragoon Guards. The castle is now looked after by History Environment Scotland and can be visited. It is in fact visited by millions each year and is well worth a visit. It is also the venue for the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo, which is held annually and is well worth the visit. Of course, due to its long and bloody history, it is said to be haunted by quite a few ghosts. The first ghost is the Grey Lady. This Grey Lady is said to haunt the older parts of the castle. She is said to wander the castle, sometimes crying sadly for whatever trauma she received in life. Some claim this to be Janet Douglas, who was accused of witchcraft by a vengeful King James V. He sought revenge against her brother and so took it out on her. She was sadly burned at the stake outside the castle in 1537 in front of her son. Others believe this is Mary de Guise, who was the Catholic mother of the regent of Mary, Queen of Scots. Obviously, this was a terrible civil war at the time of Mary, Queen of Scots. She died in 1560, and the body was kept in a castle for months, wrapped in cloth and kept in a lead coffin. Eventually, they allowed her remains to be taken back to her homeland of France. Our next ghost is a little drummer boy. It is said the ghost was first seen in 1650. A headless ghost was seen playing an old war tune along the battlements. His ghost appeared when Oliver Cromwell's men were laying siege to the castle. The boy is said to appear when the castle is under siege in some kind of warning. It is not known who the boy is or where he came from, but it is clear he met a tragic death at the castle, possibly during an earlier siege. The castle is also haunted by a ghostly piper. It is claimed there are secret networks of tunnels under Edinburgh and the castle. A piper was sent along them to discover where they went. He played his bagpipes while wandering the tunnels. The sound of the bagpipes stopped near Tronkirk on Royal Mail. They sent search parties to find the boy, but he was never found. It's a very mysterious case indeed. Then they sealed the tunnels as they were scared of what happened to the boy. It makes you wonder what they were scared of, or what they heard, or even what they seen. Since the bagpipes can still be heard under the Royal Mile now and again, possibly the piper is still looking for a way out. The castle also has its own pet cemetery, and dogs belonging to the army were often buried here. Some visitors report seeing a scruffy black dog wandering the area before disappearing without a trace. Finally, the last ghost is a dung prisoner. Edinburgh Castle, of course, has its own dungeons, and prisoners were often tortured and many died over the years. Of course, the castle would be haunted by at least one of those prisoners. They say one prisoner hid in a dung barrel, hoping to be carried out of the castle and escape to freedom. He did not account for the way in which they disposed of dung, and the barrel was emptied down the rocky side of the castle, causing untold trauma and killing him. Some claim to smell strong foul dung smells while being pushed, so if you do smell something disgusting, try keep your balance. Tourists often report seeing coloured orbs and weird clouds of mist when taking photos at the castle. Definitely worth a visit. Our next location is Greyfriars Kirkyard. The graveyard is said to be the most haunted in Scotland and is also located in Edinburgh. It has been used as a graveyard since the 16th century and has a long history. Greyfriars is named after a friary. The friary wore grey habits, and this friary was dissolved in 1560. The churchyard was created in 1562. This replaces St Giles Cathedral for burials. You may have heard of the Covenators. The Covenating movement was created from the signing of the National Covenant in Greyfriars Kirk in 1638. After a battle in 1679, around 1200 Covenators were imprisoned near the churchyard in a field, which was made into a makeshift prison due to the large numbers. Here they were tortured and many died of starvation. The field was then used to create vaulted tombs for the churchyard and is known as the Covenator's Prison. I'm sure most of you have heard of Greyfriars Bobby. The loyal dog guarded his master's grave for many years. You can see Bobby's headstone at the entrance to the kirkyard, which was erected by the Dog Aid Society in 1981 and is said to be his burial place. You can also see Bobby's statue near the entrance to the kirkyard, and there is even a pub called after him. For those who have not heard of him, his master died and the dog slept on his grave for 14 years. The kirkyard has even been visited by the famous grave robbers Burke and Hare, stealing bodies to sell. The kirkyard does look ancient and has quite the spooky atmosphere and is well worth a visit, but be warned, it has its very own poltergeist, which is said to be very active in the kirkyard. Within the walls of the kirkyard stands a strange black mausoleum. This belongs to Sir George Mackenzie, or Bloody Mackenzie, as he was nicknamed. Mackenzie was responsible for the terrible and horrifying treatments of the Covenators. Around 18,000 Covenators lost their lives over the years to their faith. Mackenzie was in charge of the 1,200 prisoners held near the kirkyard. These poor people did not have a roof to protect them from the harsh Scottish weather, and were starved as well as tortured at times. Many of them died from this before even being executed. When Mackenzie died, he was placed in the Black Mausoleum. Over the years, hundreds of sightings of ghostly figures or strange attacks have occurred. The poltergeist is said to have been released after a homeless man broke into the burial chamber seeking shelter, when he walked down the staircase to the lower burial chamber containing the Mackenzie family coffins, he fell straight through the floor into the darkness. When he lit his lighter, to his horror, he realised he had fallen into a room of ancient skeletons, possibly from the time of the plague. He escaped into the night, never to return. It is said this is when the Mackenzie poltergeist was released, and since then it has been very active. People have been said to hear laughing, even in the houses nearby, and having crockery smashing randomly. The poltergeist can grab hold of visitors to the kirkyard, causing bruises in the shape of a hand, to being hit, pulled, or even bitten. Be careful if you visit this kirkyard, and look out for the ghostly apparition of the Mackenzie poltergeist. And now, for our Legends of Scotland. Our first story is the mystery of Flannan Isles Lighthouse. The lighthouse was built in the late 1800s on one of the Flannan Isles in the Outer Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. It was on the 15th of December 1900, a ship passing noticed that the light was not in operation in the poor weather conditions, which was unusual, obviously, for a lighthouse, as this was its purpose. The ship docked in Leith on the 18th of December and reported this to the Northern Lighthouse Board. A relief vessel was due to sail to the island on the 20th of December, but due to bad weather, it reached the island at noon on the 26th of December. The lighthouse was manned by three men with a rotating fourth man. When they visited, they noted the flagstaff had no flag and no provision boxes had been left out for restocking. What was stranger yet was the fact none of the lighthouse keepers were anywhere to be seen. The captain then blew the ship's whistle and fired a flare to get the attention of the men. No one arrived. The relief keeper, on his arrival at the lighthouse, noticed the entrance gate and main door were closed. He returned to the ship to report. He could not find anyone. The second mate and a sailor returned with him. There was no sign at all of anything happening to the keepers, nor any suggestions of where they had went. After this, they sent an investigator who believed they had been swept out to sea. No bodies were ever found, and it is a mystery to this day. What happened to these fit and healthy men? Our final story of the season, Dalmarnock Road Bridge and the Suicide Ghost. Dalmarnock Road Bridge is in Glasgow, which I believe you can drive or walk across. This bridge is built over the River Clyde. The bridge is nearly 200 years old, so has been around for a pretty long time. The first sightings of this ghost were reported in the 1970s. The ghost is said to be a young man who is believed to have committed suicide at this spot. He is reported to be in his 30s with a blue jacket and black trousers. Those who have seen him report him staring into the water below, like he is considering throwing himself into the murky waters. When approached, he would jump off the bridge and disappear into thin air. So if you fancy your chances of seeing a ghost, perhaps you should visit Dalmarnock Road Bridge. And that is the end of episode 18 and the end of season 1. Again, a huge thank you to everyone who has listened so far. And a welcome to any who have started. Please go back and listen to the rest of the episodes. And that is it. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.